You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 4th, 2019, and we're the two best characters of the past decade.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
And I'm George Alborg.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. And so let me just preface this with, here's how stupid / sleep deprived I am. I was like, man, Polygon is really doing a lot of these kind of fun, you know, greatest of the decade style lists. Like, why? Like, is the decade even over? It's like, oh, wait, the decade is over.
Yeah.
That's how math works. Like, that's you right. don't have yeah. to wait till 2020. That's the beginning of a new decade. So this is actually the end of a decade.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you and I are survivors of Y2K. And I think since Y2K, like, we haven't really, you know, we haven't really capstoned a decade with the same level of unease. You know what I mean?
That is true. I mean, I wonder how much deep...
All joking aside,
like, do you think that that is actually embedded in our psyche? Like,
100%, I do remember. Scott. I mean, okay, here's the thing. I was the type of, okay, maybe people know this about me now, 500 fucking episodes into the Experience of Wins podcast, but I was a big wuss as a kid. I didn't want to even touch the book Hot Zone because I was scared I would get a bullet, you know? Like, I was that scared. Y2K, I mean, I was old enough to know better. You know, this is like freshman in high school. I was legitimately scared, like, everything would collapse, you know?
You mean, like...
Society as we know it would collapse as a result of a computer bug.
So you... And it wasn't just a specific thing. Like, you weren't worried about, oh, no, the planes will fall out of there. You were thinking, this is going to be straight up Mad Max come the stroke of midnight.
My family's already broke. If we can't access money from the bank, like, I don't know what we're going to do.
So were you prepping?
We were prepping a little bit, yeah. Mm. And then eventually, I actually did end up reading something about how, like, it's total bullshit. And then I was like, okay, it's fine.
So, I remember asking my parents about it.
Are we going to die, Mom and Dad? Mom and Dad, are we going to die?
I was asking them, and I think they were just reassuring me that I was like, you know what? At the most that will happen is that there will be some minor inconveniences. That being said, we do have a little bit of extra cash that we wouldn't normally have just out of the bank in case we cannot access banking systems for the next week or whatever.
Okay, semi-genuine question for you to maintain this tangent. Sorry, listeners. Another week of tangents. But if I were...
You could tell we're wrapping up, like, end of year stuff because we're so busy playing games that we're not reading about games.
That's true. Explain to me how... I mean, and I'm not a paranoid person anymore. Explain to me how we went from a small computer error with a date could collapse Western civilization as we know it to, of course, Bezos isn't listening to my conversations with my Amazon device.
I think you just answered your own question. I mean, we went through this huge, oh man, there's going to be malfunctions everywhere. Oh my God. And then nothing happened. And then people are like, oh, I guess technology is fine.
Bullshit.
Nothing. Yeah, exactly. I guess nothing. We don't have to pay attention to anything because everything will always turn out fine.
And it will turn out fine.
And somewhere Jeff Bezos was like, good.
Yeah. I wonder if someone was affected by Y2K. I mean, there has to be one person who's just
mean, you know who was actually affected by Y2K was a bunch of unsung sysadmin heroes who were deploying patches to various Unix systems throughout the month of December and putting in a lot of late hours.
I mean, I bet you freelance IT, though, was just raking at the dough, you know?
I'm sure.
I'm sure there were ads that were like, get your company Y2K proof, you know? Just scamming people left and right.
I mean, do you remember buying objects that said Y2K compliant on them?
No, did they really have those?
Totally. You could buy a VCR or whatever and it would say Y2K compliant. I mean, it just became you know how just random things these days will say like HD on them?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Here's some HD glasses. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck? Like, that was the HD of its time, Y2K compliant.
That is what we now know on the internet as a blurst image.
You know? Oh my god, if I could dig up some Y2K compliant box art from like various products, that is
good times.
Anyway, all this is to say it's the end of a decade and I just kind of now realized it intellectually.
Yes.
But that leads to a lot of cool listicles that we can talk about and relive this past decade of video games.
It sure does. And I actually feel like I'm a professional at this point of just giving salty takes on lists because every single one makes me mad.
This list, we did one around just, you know, the best / most influential games. This one is actually specifically about characters. There's a Polygon list around the 70 best video game characters.
Strange number, but all right.
Yeah, like not 100, not 50, 70.
Cool.
And
they're not ranked either. It's in alphabetical order.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Okay, sorry. I was looking at the parentheticals, but you're right. It's all. Well, they didn't want to insult anyone.
Okay, yeah. We don't want Allie from Ni No Kuni to be sad.
It also just makes me think about. This makes me think about video game characters in a broader sense. And
yes.
Maybe. I don't know if this is just a really dour take or I'm in a bad mood or whatever.
Yeah,
but
I'm right there with you, Scott.
Looking through this, I'm like, are video game characters bad?
Look, we've been in the game for a while and maybe we just forgot. But yes, Scott, video game characters are bad and they have been bad for a very long time. There's so much ink that has been spilled on this topic. Like, yes, video game characters are bad. There's some good ones in this list, but...
Well, let's pick. I mean, let's start somewhere. Like pick a couple. Like, who should we start with? And just like, because I want to pick a smattering of ones that are to me are logical and make sense, and others that are like, man, what is even going on?
Okay, how about one that already breaks the fucking rule because it's two characters, Batman and the Joker from the Arkham series.
Yeah, I don't get like, that.
Well, I mean, already, right? The fact that you know we have to identify the best characters in the games, and at least what a handful of these characters are just other characters from different franchises. Like Batman and the Joker were not born from the Arkham series.
Right. And also it was not even that. It was using the same voice actors from the Batman animated series, which was a seminal piece of, I mean, another hot take.
Established iconic characters. Yeah,
exactly. And of something that is universally held up as not only just a great superhero show, but a great TV show.
Yes, 100%. And there's no person who enters that Arkham series experience without carrying some baggage about who either Batman or the Joker, who is, I think, probably unarguably the most famous comic book villain in our time.
Totally.
That you carry that experience with you into that game. So I would flat out, right off the bat, scratch this from the list. But I think it's indicative because they're not wrong. Like, I think the Joker is very well realized in the Arkham series, precisely as you point out, because so much of it is just grafted from the animated series.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is one of the best. It just so happens that it's not really, you know, the birthed from the video game series at all.
Right. Okay, so here's another one. Clementine and Lee from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, but just pick one, dude. Come on.
Well, and also, I think this is why I was coming to my first opinion of just what does it even mean to be a character in a video game, where Lee is obviously a character because he has a backstory, he has some opinions that aren't fully just the player's, but he is very much dependent on the player to form that character. Where I remember our whole debrief of The Walking Dead season one, we were so impressed by the fact that two people's Lees could be so different in so many different ways, and it's the same character. And 100%. Maybe my definition of a character is too rigid in that it seems like it should be a standalone thing outside of the player, but it's weird because Lee is partially created. I don't know. He's so dependent on your choices that it feels a little bit disingenuous to call him the character when it's actually the player and him creating the characterization.
I mean, now we're getting into like the ludic shit that I thought we would maybe avoid right. this week, but
nope.
I mean, you're right. I think that's a very good question that you have to confront. I think to be generous to selecting protagonists as the best characters in a video game over the past decade, what I will say is that there is a, you know, there is a suite of features that Lee has and a suite of options to choose from. And no matter which one you choose, it's a different version of Lee, but it's within the sort of Lee framework the game has established.
Okay.
And those interesting decisions that you make within that space of creating your own Lee is what makes a good character. Now, the problem I think is there's a difference, a kind of interesting but important difference between saying what is a good character from a story, right? Which is, you know, the background, the events that happen to that character, the overall arc of that character, and what makes a good protagonist or interesting protagonist in a video game, which I think is a very different question. And I don't think this list tries to answer the protagonist question. The vast majority of these characters are not protagonists in their video games. And I think for good reason, a lot of times those aren't the characters that game designers are interested in fleshing out, or they're not creating that framework for the character in a way that's realized well enough, because the protagonist is just a cipher for the player and it's all of the other characters that they're really fleshing out.
Right. And those are the more, what we would think of in terms of a novel or a movie, a more traditional character.
Yeah.
In the non-ludic sense.
Right. And the Clementine Lee example is interesting because, well, two things. One is your decisions will also affect who Clementine is.
Yeah.
So even from the side character perspective, you're already having different, you know, different elements here. But I would say if you were to ask me to put a list together of 70 characters, which is a lot of characters over the past 10 years,
right.
I would probably give a space to both Clementine and Lee independently, because I think they're both very well realized. I love this series. I think Lee is a super interesting character. And until you mentioned this, I hadn't really thought of him separate from Clementine, but I think would totally make sense as one of the best characters.
Yeah.
He is so well realized in that series.
Yes. Just side note, did you play any of the later Walking Dead, like kind of the post, I guess Clementine grew up, like they jumped forward in time and Clementine was a little older?
I did not play the one where she's the oldest, no.
Yeah, me neither. I just wonder what the rest of her arc was, because I thought it was unexpected but cool that they continued with her character for a long time, not just as a sequel, but like further into the series.
Yeah.
Which seemed to just retroactively justify the fact that they went back to the same characters in the second series.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be curious. I should just spoil it for myself at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, I mean, one could argue that is the ethical thing to do at this point based off of how that all wrapped up.
Yeah. Another outlier that I think will flesh out how we talk about this stuff. Delilah from Firewatch, never actually seen.
Yeah. But a lot of characterization.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you hear backstories and she's on the radio and stuff.
I wonder though, I mean, cause I thought, what was the protagonist's name? Henry.
Henry.
I mean, I thought Henry was just as good though. And I thought that they
bounced off each other well.
Yeah. I mean, like in a weird way, I feel like this is a more justifiable pairing versus just choosing Delilah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I buy that. I mean, it's interesting because the question is like, how is that character fleshed out in the context, maybe outside of the main character? But I don't know. I mean, you get a lot on Delilah, I guess. Maybe I was being unfair. But it's just interesting to me that like you can have a character on this list that you just don't even interact with almost
right.
at all.
Right. How is Dutch on this list, but John Marston isn't?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, this, we talked about this last time we did the games, and I'll also go ahead and mention that Sam Porter Bridges from Death Stranding is on this list. I think that there's a strong bias towards games that are newer, such that Dutch Vanderlind is the character through line in Red Dead Redemption 2, and is why they selected this. Now, I think both you and I would argue to our graves that Marston absolutely deserves to be on this list and is actually the real through line between both of these games.
So, I mean, I would say that the game argues in that same way based on the fact that there's a 10-hour epilogue only about John Marston.
Yes, 100% agree. But what
here's
I will
a,
say
here's
though
a
is,
fun list that we should make, things that we will argue to our grave. Here's some off the top. Yeah, John Marston is the best character in Red Dead Redemption. God of War is actually a pretty deep treatise on family and kind of masculine obligation.
The OG Kratos.
Yeah. And The Witcher 3 sucks. Those are at least three things that we will argue to our grave.
Well, maybe the last one when someone finally forces me to play the game. the one thing I'll say about Dutch, though, and I think that it would have been way more interesting to me if they, instead of saying, let's make a list of 70, if they'd broken this out by sort of what the characters are providing to the narrative. I think it's
like
really interesting.
Or
yeah, so villains in particular, because I actually think Dutch Vanderland is an excellent villain.
Yeah.
One of the more interesting ones in video games. And man, we get a lot of shit villains in video games where they're just like weirdly evil. And in fact, I think the closest comparison would be most of the villains from literally any superhero film, which are almost always laughably evil and just dark, negative versions of our protagonists.
Yes.
You know? Like that's what most villains are, you know? Like the ultimate villains in the Mass Effect series are just like big alien spaceships. Like that is not interesting, you know?
Right.
Much better villains are folks like Dutch who have an ethos, you know? Who can even be sympathetic at times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And a good villain is a foil to the hero, but a true foil, not just the opposite of, this is a big scary robot versus a, you know, nice cuddly human. There's something that fills in a mirror version, the gaps of the hero, which, you know, Dutch is, he's kind of a John Marston through a muddy mirror.
Yeah. And they also have Pagan Min from Far Cry 4. I never played Far Cry 4, but like the Far Cry villains have been pretty good also.
I mean, well, and also I mean that's where I'd go back to the more traditional characterization, where I think those villains just in terms of the characterization and the acting, like the performance of those villains is memorable. Where it's just not it's not like a low rent ripoff of Die Hard or something. Like these are actors that are making specific character choices that make them interesting, which I appreciated from like the more modern Far Cries.
Well, staying on the villain track, like, is there a villain that you can think of from a video game that didn't have a whole lot of voice acting, but was nevertheless a compelling or interesting villain? Like, we actually just replayed Final Fantasy VII, and Sephiroth actually doesn't get a whole lot of his own lines. Like, there's a lot of, like, you know, doomsaying and threatening posture. Yeah. He's known as one of the most compelling video game villains. I think you and I kind of soured on Final Fantasy VII after that long debrief. And I don't think I would list Sephiroth as one of my favorite villains at all. But of all of the ones that I can think of, like, Gyloss is in here, for example, which I think is... Yeah. As a villain, is a great villain, as someone who's constantly taunting you, you know, making jokes, but also like driving you forward for multiple reasons. Like, that's great, but it feels like so much of that villainous role, I mean, even in films, it just has to be carried by performance, you know?
Yes. Yeah, because they're not always the most, I mean, it's hard to have a nuanced villain where you can actually... for as, you know, silly as this is, a villain, like a modern villain, like someone like Magneto, where you understand where he is coming from, even though he's evil. And he's just kind of, again, it's kind of like the Dutch version of, he is just the twisted version of what Professor X could be.
Yeah.
But there is some justifiable, I mean, you can at least see his logic, which is a rarer thing than just a flat out evil person.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Is there any Grand Theft Auto on this list?
There is Lester from GTA 5.
Okay.
Which is, like, I don't know.
Why Lester? How about Trevor?
I mean, 100% Trevor.
Yeah.
And also, in a weird way, I'm kind of surprised because this list is, like, overwhelmingly white besides, like, Lincoln Clay and, like, a few others, but...
That is a good point. What was...
I mean, to be fair, so are again? Video game characters. So.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Who were the characters in GTA 5? It was... Trevor was the meth head.
Yep.
And then the two others, I forget names.
I don't remember.
I don't know. I thought all those characters were actually, like, pretty good.
I just remember his yee-yee-ass haircut. Because I'll never forget that line.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's funny because Lester. I definitely remember Lester, and he's kind of a. I mean, Lester kind of feels like the internet incarnate in terms of, oh, here's like a snarky, you know, weaselly character that is Rockstar also kind of making fun of dorks, but man, to this day, I think of Trevor. In that game, and that one scene where like they're trying to get out of the other protagonist's house, I forget what his name was, but uh-huh. He tries to jump the fence and he falls, and yeah. It's just like, oh fuck, you know, he's just like rolling yeah. around on the ground. There's just like so many little pieces of his character where it's like, man, they really went full on idiot with this guy, and what I found to be a pretty charming way.
Yeah, I mean, how much of that though is just the who's it, like Stephen Ogg or whatever, the guy who did voice acts. Trevor right. is so good. Like, he just gives That's such true. A good performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, once again. Let's see. What else? Max and Chloe from Life is Strange here. Another couple.
That's that all right. Is fun. I never played those games, but is it logical that to pair those two in terms of the story and what they do for it?
Yeah, I mean, like, the first Life is Strange is about their arc.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Although, I don't know. I'm kind of the opinion that if you're going to make a list of the best characters, you should be ruthless about it and call down and decide, like, Max or Chloe. You know, right. Like, that's it.
Right.
So.
How do you feel about Nathan Drake on this list?
I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, he's also one of the characters that has been in so many games over the past decade
yes.
that we've seen a character arc there. I mean, yeah. You could say the same thing of Kratos, who's also on this list, right? Like, there is a opportunity to flesh out a character and their background and their origins, you know, yeah. in interesting ways that adds value to who that character is years later, right?
Right.
Like, it kind of, I guess it would fall outside of this, right? But mm-hmm. Master Chief is another good example, right? There's been so many Halo games.
There must have been, because Halo, you're right. Master Chief was Reach must have been in at least 2010. Yeah, I mean, Reach had to have been post 2010.
In either case, like, I think that there's enough.
Or no, just Halo 4, right?
Was that, I don't know, man.
Man, what happened
I'm still thinking
to
Halo? About Y2K. What happened yeah. in my last 10 years?
Yes, but yeah, to your point.
To my point, I think that there's a unique opportunity for characters that are in multiple games to have like yes. really interesting stories. And I think if you were to like hard press me into something, my guess is maybe half of the characters on my own list would be recurring characters who've just been fleshed out over the years, you know?
Yeah, because you get to know them, you see the various stories that they go through. That makes yeah. a lot more sense.
Or even just experiences that are longer, right? Like they have... So Jiro from Persona 5, which is bonkers. Like, I don't have all the Persona 5 characters. That seems like the weirdest one to pick, but whatever.
I didn't play Persona 5. Which what role did he play in the story?
I mean, this is the guy that is like backing them from an adult perspective, but like he's not your buddy. Like, he's not one of the core five groups, you know?
Right.
He's not the villain, which I think is actually a somewhat interesting sets of villains that you encounter during the game. But I mean, you'd really think it would just be one of the main five kids.
That's what I was surprised by. It wasn't one of the core party members.
Right. But the point being is, I think it's totally valid to pick someone from a really long game. Mm-hmm. There's a Fire Emblem character on here, I believe, yeah. as well. It's the same idea, right? Anybody that you spend a prolonged period of time with, I think, is totally right for a list like this. They have a Mass Effect character. Is it Commander Shepard?
I didn't see the Mass Effect character. Which one is it?
Yeah, so they have Jane Shepard. So they have Femme Shep here, which again, I think is a great pick, but...
Is that canonically her name, by the way?
Jane? Yeah. I guess. I mean, I imagine it's Jane Doe Shepherd, probably.
Oh, right? I guess that makes sense. Instead of like John Doe Shepherd. Okay, understandable.
Sure. But I think that if you were to pick any character from the Mass Effect series, I mean, Garrus is probably a more interesting, better, well-rounded character than the vast majority of people on this list.
I feel like the Shepherd problem is kind of similar to the Lee problem, where like Shepherd has two big guardrails and you can kind of ping pong around within those guardrails, whereas
right.
Oh man, like just there's so many, like Morden Garrus.
Morden is so good, you know. Yeah. It's so like if you were to put a gun to my head and be like, pick your favorite character from Mass Effect after Garrus, it probably would be Morden, and I think he would absolutely deserve to be on this list, and I would put both of them above Shepard. That is I think the challenge here is that so much of who Shepard is as a character is defined by the team that you build and the relationships that you build on that ship. And it's just, it's difficult to select. It's almost like it's a separate list, right? Like best ensemble cast in a video game, you know, where I would throw in the Persona team. I would throw in, you know, Chloe. I would throw in, you know, Lee and them. Like there's people that their relationships to each other are so defining of that narrative within the past decade that they almost deserve getting their own attention. And I think from a writing perspective, they're written in a very different way. And I think identifying that importance of what they're adding to that narrative is significant. You know, it's a very different experience to play as Kratos in the new God of War, very fleshed out, very interesting character, but he really only has one relationship that is the center of that narrative. To say that you're building a game that is successfully creating interesting relationships between multiple characters, some of whom will never be experienced by one player or the other, is a huge achievement that I think deserves as much like praise as we can heap on it, you know? Like, and in a similar way as to the amount of praise that I think Lee deserves as a character for being just as interesting and fleshed out as your version between my version, despite them having this vast difference between one another.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we are just overthinking this to death.
Well, I mean, that's our specialty, Scott.
That is true. That is our superpower. But for example, Prince Sidon from The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I mean, people just want to bone this fish boy. I think that's
what I'm saying. This is just a bunch of pervs putting their... Yes. Their furry, or in this case, I guess their scaly fantasies on a list. But you could take it more seriously and choose someone like Mipha, who is the princess in the Zora Kingdom, who has an unrequited love for Link that she'll never fulfill.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, that's way more interesting than Prince Sidon, who's just a chill bro that you can hang out with.
I mean, 100% correct. Yes. Yeah,
it's just so weird. Well, is Link a valid character? I mean, like, what is the difference between like Link and Commander Shepard, besides that the fact that Link cannot endorse shops on the Citadel?
Yeah. This is my favorite resting spot in all of Hyrule. Man, you know what?
Is it just the dialogues? You know, like, is he not fleshed out to a point where
this is a question we've been dealing with for like 30 years at this point? Yeah, you know, like He is the ultimate cipher. And I don't, you know, interestingly, I actually would say Zelda in Breath of the Wild is more interesting than any other Zelda we've seen thus far.
Yeah.
And partly is because of this like weird weight of his absence that the other characters flesh out on your behalf. Like, I don't think he wouldn't be on my list of top 10 most interesting characters, but as in terms of characterization, I think that they've stretched that limitation about as far as it can go.
It is true, especially when they do have more in-depth cutscenes than they've ever had, and Link still doesn't say anything. Where they're reaching infinity when it comes to like the limits of what you can do with a silent protagonist.
Well, speaking of silent protagonists, the Traveler. The character from Journey is on this list.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I mean, this is one of those things where I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think Journey is one of the best games ever made, but I think it's because it forces the player to takes such an active role in the characterization of the Traveler.
Yep.
I mean, the Traveler has the personality that you give the Traveler, which I think is the beauty of the game. Yes. And so it's kind of hard for me to consider that Traveler its own standalone character in the same way that you would consider Marcus Fenix or something.
Yeah.
A character.
It's interesting to me that they selected it, and I can see why, right? Mm-hmm. Because like you said, I think Journey is an incredibly important game of the past 10 years. But, you know, you and I, we replay Journey every year on its anniversary, yep. and I don't get the same experience or the same reading any one of those times.
Right. Right.
It's hard to see that character as like deserving to be on a list of the best characters when
yes.
it's just a component of a tapestry that is almost, you know, painted onto the screen in that game, yeah. you know?
Right. I mean, it's funny, the one right below the Traveler is Trico from The Last Guardian.
Yeah, also voiceless.
As silly as that is, it's obviously voiceless, but in a weird way, it is one of the most independent characters on this entire list because you have very little control over it. It yep. definitely has a personality and a backstory and a goal, and you do have to treat it just by the way the mechanics of the game work. You have to treat it as its own basically separate entity that you just get to know over a course of, you know, many hours of playing.
Yeah.
And I actually do think it's a really good character because there's conflict there and there's, you know, danger and yep. loss that you deal with through the character. And it's all backed up by the mechanics of, because you can't directly control this thing, you're just having to do this extended trust building exercise throughout yes. the game.
Yep.
And you just learn a lot about what this thing even is and what it cares about and how it acts and stuff.
Yeah. It also reminds me how far we've come from the characterization of animals from something like Lady and the Tramp, you know, right. where like, it's just like this thing to something where it almost like, what's my go-to? Like How to Train Your Dragon, you know?
Yeah.
Which I think is a yeah. great characterization of a pet, right? It's an animal that is 100% an animal. Like Trico right. behaves like an animal, will run off and go do its own thing. It'll get distracted. Sometimes it can be really frustrating to deal with right. him. And yeah. that's part of the game. But the moments when he stands out as like, oh, he cares for your main character, or you actually yes. do have a bond and that bond is real.
Yeah.
And it evokes that bond that you can feel with a real animal in real life that is totally unique and unlike any other bond you can have with a human being yep. is pretty marvelous.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, what? It's the end of a decade.
Who's not on this list that you want on this list?
I don't know. I was thinking of there's a lot of different genres. There's a lot of different genres represented. It was interesting to me that there wasn't anything from. Maybe I didn't see it. Maybe I should do a quick search. There wasn't any like Call of Duty character.
Yeah.
It seems to me that like someone would throw like Captain Price in there or something like that.
Right.
And as far as I can tell, one of the few multiplayer games that's represented is Overwatch, which I think is an interesting choice because that game is all about its characters, but it walks this really strange line of giving people just enough to get interested but not so much to be prescriptive because they're right. all about the community trying to like fill in the gaps of yeah. like the backstory of all these people.
And so much of that is defined outside of the game. I mean, the vast majority yeah, exactly. of it is defined outside of it.
Totally. Like the movies and the comics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was a bit surprised to see not as many just multiplayer or just in general live game type representations here because that was such a big part of the decade.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Hmm. Also, no Dark Souls characters.
I was going to say that same thing. I don't think there's any Souls representation here.
I think you could find some really interesting characters from the Dark Souls series, for sure.
I mean, you're telling me patches can't be in here?
I mean, if the fucking Goose from Untitled Goose Game is in here, Patches can be in here, all right?
The original troll, Patches.
Patches. I mean, for sure, dude. The Goose of the Dark Souls series.
I mean, I think Dark Souls is an intriguing one to think about because a lot of the characterization of Dark Souls is done in the menu. You know, reading item descriptions, reading weapon descriptions, the histories of the various enemies you're fighting. Yep. And some of it is pretty damn interesting, but you need to dig for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Garmin, for example, is probably a more interesting character than some of those here from Bloodborne. I think the Twin Princes from Dark Souls 3 could be on this list easily. Like, there's a lot of actually really interesting characters that are fleshed out in those side bits. But what's great is I think if you read up on some of the characters through the lore or through the interactions with the folks in the game, or even if you play some of the main quests, like I think Eileen the Crow from Bloodborne is such an awesome character within that little sliver that she's in. But in terms of even the boss fights, like if you have background on who those characters are, when you first encounter them, it's such a interesting experience. Or even on second viewing, when you fight them again and you see like how the environment they're in and the road up to that boss fight tells their story. Super interesting.
And I think that's also one of the challenging things about video game characters, just period. Video games are inherently usually a pretty big time investment. And so if you want to get the most out of a character, you really need to really study the character, which means playing the game multiple times and seeing the different nuances, which is hard when you have to invest dozens and dozens of hours to do it. But to your point around Dark Souls, the more you play it, you know, the first time you're just hanging on for dear life. And then the second time you kind of know what's coming. So you can start looking at the edges more and you can start looking at the connective tissue. And you do see some of that stuff. I forget which Dark Souls it was. Maybe it was Dark Souls 3 where you are fighting what's essentially, I think he's a giant or something, and you have to use this like special sword to fight him.
Oh yes, yeah, and the Onionite. Oh man, come on, the Onionite. Yeah,
and
get him in
and
here.
There's so many like cool. There's so much cool lore behind that. Where, to your point, you are traversing what up to that point you have just been learning about via legends and lore and hearsay from other characters.
Yeah,
and if you're not doing it for the first time, then you're not in survival mode, so you can actually take in some of the story in a more measured way. And it is cool. It does feel different because you see things in his throne room that are, oh, that was the thing that I read in that other item description. Yeah, you know, this is his mystic kiln that he's been slaving away over for thousands of years. Whereas the first time you play it, it's probably just, hey, what's that weird pot in the corner? You know, you just need multiple viewings, and it's harder to do when it's a video game.
Well, and just the environmental storytelling, right? Like, and I think you're right, for the characters that have more of that historical background, like especially I would say the DLC for both Dark Souls and Bloodborne, where you're going back and experiencing like historical events that you've already read about. So you have some context, you know, like I think Artorias is so well loved from the Dark Souls series because you know who he is by the time that you get into the Artorias DLC. And so when you encounter him, you know, or you encounter, you know, the wolf, or you encounter, you know, the old hunters, like that's really cool. Little like nods to the history that you've just experienced by traveling through that landscape that I think is interesting. Yep. You know, and like in a weird way, I mean, we were going back to the villain conversation. I think Ganon in Breath of the Wild is kind of an interesting villain because his effects on the landscape are realized and encountered in interesting ways before you ever find him. You know, like just that experience of going to fight Ganon, and you know where his castle is because it's been at the center of the fucking map the entire game.
Yeah.
Like,
it's such an imposition on the landscape.
Exactly. Like, and the colors that it's like bursting out of, like, it's such a cool experience that I would be hard pressed not to list him as one of the more interesting villains, even if he's not a character that's like, you know, hugely fleshed out.
Right. It's interesting to see the trends over the decade. I'm surprised that there's not more, it feels like the mechanics of the decade are actually quite separate from what is being recognized here as the characters.
Yep, for sure.
And I wonder if that will continue to be the case as we continue to navigate our way through, you know, what's an online game, what's not, you know, what is an authored experience, what is, you know, a player-driven experience, because I feel like that stuff is just going to get more extreme basically starting next year with the new consoles that are going to be inherently more connected than even the ones we have now. And so what will that do to the characters and what will we see in terms of like the what we consider iconic performances in the next, you know, 5 years or so?
Yeah, for sure. Well
I guess one thing.
Because we did this for the last one, and I don't think it's going to work because this list is bigger, but I think we should count down and then say our favorite character from their list at the same time and see if it's the same.
Okay, hold on. I need to...
Because last time we both said Spelunky.
Yeah, but that was so obvious. That's so obvious. This is just...
Yeah, the moment you see it, you're like, okay. When you see it.
When you see it. Oh, boy. I'm just scanning through all.
It's a big list.
Man, a decade too. 2010 was so different from 2019.
It really was. It really was.
How innocent we all were.
The sweet summer children. I'm going to use my definition of character. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I know who you're going to pick, but we'll see.
You think so?
I do.
I don't know. None of this stuff. Okay. I think I'll... Sorry, this is riveting podcasting, I'm sure. Okay. You ready? I think I'm going to pick here.
Well, we're giving our listeners the opportunity to go through the list and pick their favorite. See if it matches ours.
That is true. Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Senua. Damn it. I was going to pick Senua. Yeah, I was going back and forth between Lee and Senua actually that whole time. I chose Lee because of I felt like I got more of his arc, but I picked him for the same reason why I was about to pick Senua, because it was such a he and Senua feel like real people that make logical decisions.
I actually thought you were going to pick Kratos. To be honest,
I mean, I feel like Kratos may have done his best work in the 20-aughts versus the 2010s.
What I will say about Senua as a character before we wrap up is I think that is one of the more daring characterizations. Like, there's no character like that.
Yes.
Lee is a human being in a crazy situation who tries to do good, and he is one of my favorite arcs, but... Man, Senua, and I've been replaying, actually. I rebought it on PS4 like a month ago just to replay it.
Oh, cool.
It's very good.
Holding up now that you've had some distance between the first playthrough?
Yeah. And it still looks great. And they did a re-release of the game, so.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of our favorite games from that year for sure, and a great character. It's also interesting because it's basically a one-shot character. I mean, you're not going to get another game with her in it, nor should you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is where you can get all of our hot takes about lists. We have one. We did one a couple weeks ago if you missed it. So
so many characters.
If you want to be a nice character to us, leave us a review. iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you find our podcast.
Cool. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time.